Our text today is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. And I'm turning us here instead of to the next chapter of Numbers, because that was going to be a lot of exegetical work and study, as would Matthew again this evening. So as it's the eve of a new year, and I heard this scripture referenced in a sermon on refnet.fm while I was doing some errands, I thought that would be a great verse to think about as we enter in a new year together. And also, it's a verse I've been wanting to keep memorizing, and I just love this verse. I find it empowering. Haven't preached on it yet. And it is helpful, again, to have a sermon, a thematic sermon today, a topical sermon, instead of an exegetical sermon for the time that I had to work this week. So I thank you for bearing with me. We'll get back to Numbers, Lord willing, next week. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 this morning. Let's turn to it now. May the Lord bless our hearts to receive it and hear what the Spirit hath to say to us, and ask and think big of him as we go into the new year at midnight together, the next year of our Lord. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let me read that for you once more, since it's brief. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That is the language of thinking big about our big and great and glorious God. And as I was running this idea by the children in family worship a day or so ago, they said, "Oh yeah, Dad, that's the one we want this week." And we looked in our Reformation Heritage Bible study notes on this text, and that made us even more encouraged. Yeah, I want to think about that this morning as we go into the New Year's together. Let me read a little bit of the study notes for family worship from the Reformation Heritage Bible on this text, on these last two verses of Ephesians 3. And I'm quoting the notes, but then they quote someone else as well. So mind that distinction. I want to credit the full source to that study note. On Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, we're given this. Pray for great spiritual blessings for believers. God has given every blessing to us in the exalted Christ. The Spirit has already done a supernatural work of resurrection in everyone who now believes. Yet there is more of God's fullness for us to know. God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. John Newton said, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Beloved, you and I need to hear that again. Now, to which king do we come this morning? As we come as the kingdom of heaven, the church, we come to Jesus Christ, the king and the head of the church, who is also what? The King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, through whom the entire world was created, who resurrected himself as the first fruits of your resurrection, power over the principalities of this world. To whom do you come? The King with endless riches of grace and mercy and power and glory to bestow upon them who would have the courage and the eagerness to ask. James says, "You have not, because you ask not." And sometimes you don't have because you ask amiss. You don't ask for the right things. Ask for the right things. Come to your king, praying and asking for the things he instructs in the Lord's Prayer that you just prayed, including thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And as you pray that, entering in the new year, as this branch of the visible church in the kingdom of heaven, remember that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Remember not to despise the day of small things. God's eyes rejoice in them, and it's as if what we're working on is already done and completed and glorious. But may we be interested to be part of more of that in our lives. May we be eager to see more of the kingdom of heaven, glorious and amazing things happen. Not that our names would be written down, but that something, a work of God, might be done in this church and in this place of reformation and revival, that it might be something worthy of a future Christian biography in years to come. Let me read this again by John Newton. Who are you coming to this morning, beloved? Who are you entering into the new year, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings? Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Don't ask for too little of your great and glorious God. Now, sometimes the Father says no to a wee lad or lass asking for something. Why? Not so that he can't give him or her something, but he can give him more than he or she is thinking to ask for. So he brings them to ask for more. To bring them to ask bigger, so that he can then enjoy showing his ability and his generosity to and through his children as they enjoy him more. You think about it, we're going to go to Los Angeles tomorrow and pick up Rachel and stay the day to enjoy time with our brother who will be going up before us tonight again. And we're going to stay overnight, and I have to run it by him what we'll do, but most likely we'll fit in the Santa Monica Pier, and of course my children's face light up, something we really like to do up there. Really? Yeah, I said, but not just that. Come on, think bigger. Can we do a few rides? Yeah, we can do a few rides. How about, not just a few rides, how about I get an all-day pass and we just keep getting on and on and on and on and on all day long? Really? That'd be great. That's what God can do. That's what he wants to do for us. And he's going to help us think bigger than a couple of rides. He's going to say, get on all day long. Until the sun goes down, and scream with glee as you look over the Pacific Ocean together. We don't think to ask God like that. We think we're doing him honor by, could I please just have a glass of water? You know, could I please have some bread, maybe a little butter? As if the God of glory can't give us more than that. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. What I am saying is we don't approach him like that. Our Father in heaven, our Father that knows our needs before we even ask, he's often preparing us to ask so that he can give it to us. And he's preparing us. Sometimes he doesn't answer our measly pittance prayers so that he can give us way more that we'd never get if we don't ask. I'm going to give you more than that. I'm the King of Kings. I have everything. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I have abundant joy in life to give you. I have a peace not of this world to give you. I'm going to make you ask for more first. And then I'm going to show my glory in answering that prayer. So people look at you and say, what is different about you? I have a great, great Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. You see, our text is teaching us that God is all-powerful to do anything beyond our asking, beyond our thinking, and he does it in us to glorify himself by displaying his amazing, gracious power in us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 20 says, above all, he's above all abundantly able to do these things. And the word for abundantly, you could translate it excessively. He just wants to pour out his blessing upon you so that we say, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, as he blesses us with so many things, and our benefits in our union with Christ, the redemption he's purchased for us and applied to us in the Holy Spirit, justification, adoption, sanctification, and all the benefits that do either accompany or flow from such things. As he blesses us, we'll start praising and glorifying him for all these things that the world knows nothing about. Excessively bless us. See, we think that maybe we can just do a little bit better in controlling our sin. Put a little bit more of the new man on. God says, I'm going to blow that out of the water. You're thinking too small. I want to make you holy. I want to give you glorious power over Satan. I want you to step on his throat. I want you to step on his head. I want you to be happy, and happiness is in holiness. I want you to truly be able to say with Paul, I've learned to be content in anything, whether I abound or I am abased. In all things I can do everything through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Ask for it. Believe in it. I will give you excessive blessings. That one psalm I always struggle to remember, it's essentially I dump it on you. I back the truck up and I dump all this blessing on you. His mercy endureth forever. The blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 20, he says, he displays his glory by showing his power in us. Notice that, beloved. In the church. In us, verse 20. In the church, verse 21. Thus it's by Christ, because we are his body. Where is God wanting to show his great power? In transforming your lives. In turning your lives upside down, that is, right side up. In showing others around you, I never saw that person ever coming around. We had a brother here last week. He said, you know, I was such a bad person growing up. I was known for being so angry and violent. And then the Lord did a work in me, and I was standing up in the cafeteria proclaiming Jesus Christ. And they put it on the social media internet because the teachers and everyone were crying because they used to cry the way I used to treat them. But God did a work in my life. And I'm so different. And everybody sees it. And I'm so thankful and happy. I was so angry. See, that's what God can do. These great big changes in us, in the church, by Christ for his own glory. God glorifies himself by showing his amazing power in us. That is reason to think bigger and to ask bigger. Because whatever he does in us is for his glory. And what is your chief end, beloved? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So it's not selfish to say, do big works in me, Lord. Because if he does big works in you, more than you could even think of, help me to try to think so that I asked big. He's going to do glorious big witnesses in you. Oh, maybe only in the lives of a few people around you, but their lives will completely change. And that's big. That's enormous for them. Rather than these measly, peasy, little tiny movements over life that barely affects the next generation of our families and church. You know, for the word able in verse 20, and for the word power in verse 20, God is able to do these things abundantly, exceeding abundantly. He's working his power in the church. Able and power is the same Greek root word. It's the Greek word that looks like, and it's where we get our English word, dynamite. Dynamite. You know? Do you not notice when a stick of dynamite goes off? I'm always joking to our fishermen, you had a bad day fishing? Don't forget, throw a stick of dynamite in the lake. You'll get all kinds of fish, right? You know, just bring your net. No, dynamite is effective. It does something. It blows up hard rocks you never think you could move. It breaks up stony hearts to put a heart of flesh. God has dynamite power ability to work in your life. Don't think so little of him. He's not an M30. He's not an M60. He's not a sparkler. He's dynamite. God can blow your mind, beloved. God can blow up your expectations. God can blow the top off of your world and blow you out of your murky waters onto the gospel ship. He can. He's totally able to do that. I was sharing with the elders, you know, I'm starting to remember to pray, and it completely changed my world this week from despondency to devotion and rejoicing. God, forgive me, help me to remember. It's no small thing for you to do that. You can easily do that. I just got to wait on it and trust you. It's a piece of cake. It's nothing for you to do that. You are so big and powerful. And frankly, I'm trying too hard to make it happen. I got to do my work and then give it up to you. You are the one who can do a powerful work. Notice verse 21. Literally, it's something like, in all the generations of ages and ages. I want to encourage you children. God can do a work in this age of the church and expand it in your generations beyond anything we could imagine seeing. And we would rejoice to see that from heaven looking down later on through the witness of Christ and what he tells us. But God can do amazing things in you. As Christ says in Matthew 21, quoting Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and infants thou hast ordained strength and perfected praise. Think big about what God might do in your lives. Don't think small. Don't be focusing your life on an education as if that's the end of it all. Don't be thinking about some job and some certain amount of money. Oh, that's too small. I'm not saying ignore those things, but don't let your life be directed by such. That's too small. Think about Christ's church. Think about a glorious witness he can do through you. Think about sometimes what he'll do in your weakness, showing his strength by not giving you what everyone else has, perhaps, or making you have to do it a different way, in a more sacrificial way. But don't think he can't work in you and in right now. Generations of ages, you see, it's superfluous in the Greek. He's exceeding abundantly able. That's a bit superfluous, right? Like, I really can't say it enough, people, Paul's saying. God can blow your mind if you'll just think to ask. From ages to ages, it's just the same Greek word. It's just superfluous. Why don't you just say it once, Paul? Because I just really can't say it enough. Are you with me, people? This is a doxology. He's closing this chapter. Pray, he just gets into praising God. Doxa is the Greek for one of the words here. It becomes a doxology. He just starts praising God. He can't help himself. Because theology is supposed to develop doxology, of course. So may that also be developing. We have a better understanding of theology in this text about God and what he can do. That we just start praising him bigger and bigger and praying to him like that. And see what he does and praise him for it. Do you believe, O ye of little faith? Be not faithless, but believing. Ask this great and mighty God to increase your faith and help thou your unbelief. Do you believe, O ye of little faith? Show it by how you think about what God is doing in his church and in your lives and what you ask of him to do in your lives and in this church. Hudson Taylor writes this, the great missionary. Many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All giants, he continues, all giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence to be with them. Oh, indeed, you won't accomplish a thing. You'll give up the first time you hit a hardship. If you're trying to do it on your own power, if you're just trusting God and his power, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Now, that quote by Hudson Taylor I found because I often, like others, incorrectly credit Hudson Taylor with the next quote that I double-checked and looked for. It's actually a quote by William Carey. And I know you know it well. Let's revisit in our minds today with the text. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Think and ask big so you act big, so he works big things through you. See, if you can't think and ask big because you're thinking too smallly and asking too little of God, he's waiting for you to change. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God, William Carey says. He says, in the face effectively of small thinking, he thought big, and so he did great things. So, beloved, may we have this attitude to act as God means, to great ends. Verse 20 says this power is working. It works in us, but it's not subjunctive. That means it's not the way a word is used in grammar that suggests it's future and it might happen. It's possible. It's not subjunctive. It could be translated, or I would kind of want to work with it, something like his power is working. It's happening. He's working in his church. It's a present reality we have to get tuned into. Just as we are asking, it could be, you know, we ask, above all we ask, but we're asking. I think we could think of it that way. It's not subjunctive again. It's a present thing. It's not a participle, but it's a present reality. The thing is, are we asking big enough? He is working. How are you asking? How are you thinking? Beloved, do you have a cruse of oil? Do you have a little meal in your hand? Offer it to God and ask for him to multiply it exceeding abundantly. He is able. Just as Jesus was able to feed thousands with a few loaves and fish. Twice! Even though both times, I mean the second time, and don't you find yourself, I'm just like the disciples, the second time, oh no, we hardly have any fish, we hardly have any bread. Didn't you see what I just did? You know, I could do that again, you know. And so he did it again, two times, for we have little faith. Two times. A couple of fish, a couple of loaves. No problemo. That's Espanol. Let me translate. I can do it. You know, no big deal. What's your problem? You think too little of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. I can feed thousands. But the disciples couldn't imagine it. So they were going to send the people away. And they didn't ask for it, and so they nearly missed out on it. They thought too little. They asked too little of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate God. Perhaps, beloved, we are often waiting on God for answers to our prayers because we are thinking too small. And thus we are asking too little. And he is nudging us to think and ask bigger so that then he will act in big ways. Perhaps we often barely ask for anything because we barely think of anything, because we barely think of God and his attributes, what he's doing in his church, because we fail to think of how big and powerful is our great and mighty God, and what he can do in us, and what he will do in us, and what he's working in us for his glory. Perhaps we need to be more concerned for his glory, that we would ask that he would do big and great things through us. Not the way the world describes them, but nonetheless, probably more than we would describe them ourselves. We need to ask God that he would do such mighty works of old in those who meekly seek to walk in his old paths anew. O wee little church, on this, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, that ends this year of our Lord at midnight, as the eve of a whole new big year of our Lord ahead of us tomorrow. On behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our families, on behalf of our church, on behalf of our nation, on behalf of the world, let us not think too little of our gloriously powerful God, who is able, more than able, to do much more than you could ever dream. Oh, beloved, dream big. Dream bigger. Approach his throne of grace with confidence and think and ask big. That's the message for you as you enter this new year tomorrow. Think and ask big. Let's do that right now. Almighty Lord God, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, to whom, of whom, through whom are all things. O sovereign, gracious, most powerful God, we are here taught to think bigger, to ask bigger. If it is true, you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, then help us to think big and ask bigger of you. Increase our thoughts of your infinite, eternal, unchangeable attributes. Your awesome power to create the earth, to flood the earth, to renew the earth, to redeem your people again and again out of a bare little remnant, and make a nation and bless all nations through the earth, through the Lord Jesus Christ, often doing it through the littlest of things to show how great and glorious you are. But though we are little, keep us thinking small about ourselves, but let us lift up our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us see those mighty mountains and lead us up to the rock that is higher than we are, and bring our thoughts into heaven that we would be some earthly good, and that we would bring this majestic, mighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ, before the earth. That indeed the nations, there would be as if the wheat is flowing throughout the world, raising hands, praising God Almighty. And we do so look forward to the day, Lord, when we will no longer sow in tears, but reap and joy and pinch ourselves as if we are dreaming. Even in periods of the life of this church and your church, but especially with the promise of heaven at the last great day when you return to judge all nations and your people will judge with you at your right hand, angels and people. And then you will say, come in to my Father's house. You have been faithful with little, I will make you faithful with much. Indeed, inherit the earth, inherit all things. O Lord, let us think big about our end and remember that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Lord God, we ask big. We pray that you will do a new work in us this year, starting in ourselves. Make us more and more new creatures. Help us to put on way more of the new man than we ever had before. Help us to kill so much of the old man people barely recognize us. And the great, glorious, gracious work of Almighty God through Jesus Christ in his church will show your power to turn a person who hated you, like Paul, into someone who loved you and served you and died for you in your church. Oh Lord God, you are able, more than able, to do more than we can dream. Let us dream big. Let us think bigger. Let us ask for enormous outpourings of your Holy Spirit. And so we ask for it, Lord, in this church and throughout Paradise Hills and throughout San Diego, throughout California. We ask that, Lord God, you would bring us into the denomination we are on the cusp of this year. We pray it would be early in the year. We pray, Almighty God, that you would bring new visitors to us, that you would bring new members in us, that you would bring new Berean spirits and families who cry out over sin, convicted of the work of the Spirit of judgment and righteousness, turn to God through the mercy of Christ, and want to leave a different legacy. We pray, O Lord God, that we will be able to look back and see your mighty hand on such a time as this. We pray it for your great name's sake, for the good of your church, for your glory and our enjoyment of you, not only in the time to come, but also now. And all your people said, Amen. Beloved, please stand to sing Psalm 117 before Christ dismisses us with his benediction. Page 259 in your Psalter, Psalm 117. Please stand.
Da, da, da.
As you've come to bless the Lord, he sends you out with his blessing through Christ for his own glory and for your good. Receive now the benediction. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in this church, by Christ, throughout all ages, world without end, to the glory of Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen.